Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back here to Third Stream View for Monday evening, December 12th, 2011. Boy, this year's really, really moving along. And I am, I guess, proud to say that 2 days ago I celebrated my 57th birthday. And but the older I get, the better I was. And before I forget, let me just thank the folks at bbsradio.com for their support of free speech, free press, free media. Well, we don't have a free press. I mean, if you buy a newspaper, you should pay for it. A little humor there for you. But anyway, I have a guest coming back tonight. That's a friend of mine, Andy. We're going to talk about this martial law kind of stuff and the growth of the state, the national security state, among other things. And that continues to be a problem. Plus, we're going to talk about getting some rumbling here. I'm going to talk about Ron Paul, latest debate. He did a great job. He really laid it down, and afterwards, Rick Perry and Romney actually gave him some props. They you know, Rick Perry praised him about the Fed, learning about it, causing him to pique his interest about learning more about the Fed, and Romney thanked. Well, he told Ron Paul that he was impressed that every time he would see a Ron Paul, an event somewhere, that he would see, or coming to the debates, he would see mostly just Ron Paul signs, his enthusiastic supporters, Ron Paul, the Ron Paul crowd. So I think that they know that they can't buy him or intimidate him, and he continues to speak truth to power. And yeah, he did really very well at the debates. There's certain things I wish he would still say. I wish he would not say the word we. I wish he would always say the federal government, to lay the blame squarely where it belongs. And but his answers were usually concise, and you know, he said morality does matter, you know, which was directed at Gingrich, as the other ones who were directing it at him about the question about integrity and, you know, fidelity and this and that. But Ron Paul brought up the great point. What about fidelity to our Constitution? You know, read Article 1, you know, Section 8. So there he is, ever the consistent constitutionalist. By the way, you can call in our show here, Third Stream View, at 888-429-5471. So we'll be talking about the economy a bit. We'll be slamming on Obama, and Andy's also been learning about, I've hipped him to some things about the history of Zionism and Israel and this and that. Oh yes, and Ron Paul was not invited to the Republican Jewish convention, what was it, RJC, Congress, at the sort of, I think they held a debate, or the forum they held. He was not welcome there. So, which is good, because he got more publicity out of it, and it just shows that they just want a handout. You know, now it's like, if you don't want to give money to Israel, you're anti-Semitic. You know, Ron Paul doesn't want to give foreign aid to any countries because he knows it distorts things, it distorts the market process, it depresses agricultural prices. So I guess that's a new standard. If you don't want to give money to Israel or cut off foreign aid to Israel, you're anti-Semitic. Well, you know, since when should we genuflect to that foreign country? What other foreign country, especially as small as that, has such power over this country, over our foreign policy? And, you know, the Fed, military, you know. I sure hope they don't attack Iran. If they attack Iran, they're going to try to drag Uncle Sam down with them, I'm sure. There's no reason for us to attack Iran. I've said it before, da-da-da-da-da. I'll keep saying it, because if things are bad now, all we need is another war to make things worse. I can't believe they'd go down that stupid path. So, back to Ron Paul. The news media Not so much the news media. They've been fairly nice to him. But talk radio is still wetting their pants. Rush Limbaugh and that little prick Mark Levin, they're worried about Ron Paul's foreign policy. Meanwhile, Michael Savage, whom I think is probably the best one, if I could have about a half hour chatting with him a bit, I bet I could bring him around a bit on some key issues, especially foreign policy in Israel. But he said he found himself cheering for Ron Paul at the debate, said he couldn't help cheering for Ron Paul or something to that effect. So I think there's one more debate. Was it Thursday night? Is that the last one before the caucuses? But Ron Paul is poised where he could take Iowa. And there was a prominent Iowa newspaper that endorsed him and the Young People's Movement there. And he's situated where he could take that state. And I hope he does, of course. And then on to New Hampshire. That would really give him a bump if he took Iowa, because it would be harder for the media to ignore him, you know, because he's not going away. They don't want him. They don't like him. And they know they're guilty of ignoring him deliberately, marginalizing him. But that's not working too well anymore, because Ron Paul is coming along a lot stronger this time. He won that poll in Iowa, and I believe that he had like a 77% rating above the other status quo candidates.
Uh-huh.
All the neocons. So anyway, it looks like Andy is with us. Andrew, are you out there?
Si, da, ya. What else do I know? Si.
Please don't try to impress us with your vast knowledge of foreign languages.
Yes, I know many ways of saying yes in different languages.
Would you like some tea or coffee?
No, I had enough already. It's not working for me. See, it's taking away the thiamine in my body and making me moody.
Good, but I'll do the jokes and the humor, okay?
Okay, sure. I'll leave that to you. I'm not very funny.
I know. So, and I'll tell you what's not really funny is martial law. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Martial law is sort of like when the military and the police are in control of society. Is that correct?
That's the way it sounds to me. I mean, that's the way I've always seen it. It's where your rights are determined by whoever the stooge is coming from the government that day.
That really makes me worried about what Newt Gingrich thinks about all this, because he sort of shapes my my outlook and my philosophy, and he wanted to strengthen the Patriot Act.
Yeah, I think he'd like to be on top of everyone, this guy.
Yes, especially numerous rich women.
Numerous. How many more marriages can that guy go through?
I don't know, but he is a Catholic now, so...
Well, you know, as long as he asks for forgiveness, I guess he's all right.
So he's got that happening for him.
Yeah. What kind of name is Gingrich that he's Catholic?
You don't happen to hear any buzz on your side, do you, on the line?
Not this time around, no.
I've got it in my headphones. Well, Gingrich is a Catholic now, so he has a new take on life, I guess. Well, he could confess all that, what he did, you know.
Yeah.
He could confess his infidelities, but
yeah.
I don't even care about that much. He's such a sappy insider, you know, taking the money from Freddie Mac, and he doesn't lobby, and he's just lame. He's a lame ass, and
like you said, he was in the free market. I'm just making money. I'm doing like anybody in the free market does.
He's totally emboldened and beholden to the Israeli lobby, as is Bachman. Especially her, and I mean, Gingrich in American Enterprise Institute. He calls himself a Reagan Republican. Well, he's just a statist, as a neocon. You know, he's so involved in the system, and he's trying to portray himself as a Washington outsider. His history's not even that good. He thinks he's Mr. You know, I'll put my wisdom against his any day. But you know, what can we say about this guy? Ron Paul's in better shape than all these people. I wish they'd put more emphasis on Ron Paul's health. He'll be 77 when he takes office, hopefully. And if he's until he's 81, and doesn't seek an extra term or whatever, I'm sure he will be very sound in mind and body because he's healthy now. He exercises that muscle. That's his brain. He's always reading and studying and learning, and he takes care of his body. He exercises. So he's got all that together.
Yeah, and, you know, if he's anything like Ludwig von Mises, who lived to, what, 92, 91? And they say he was just as clear and just as sharp right up to the very last day.
That's right. That's right. So my grandpa was
age is not the issue.
Pardon?
Age is not the issue.
That's right.
It's the
especially with
Dr.
Paul. But, I mean, he's in better shape than Gingrich. I think he challenged all those guys to do like a 20-minute or 20-mile bicycle ride in Houston in the summer. Something like that, and none of them took him up on it.
But
what I think is funny also is Donald Trump, who suffers from a lack of confidence and ego, they all dropped out of his debate that he was going to host.
They all did?
I think Gingrich and Santorum, those two idiots, so they can talk about themselves. But
that's funny.
It's funny. The Donald might cancel it because lack of interest.
Hey, I got a great joke about Donald Trump. You've probably heard it. How do you make $5 billion?
Start with $10 billion.
And then lose half. You inherit $10 billion and then lose half of it, yeah.
Well, nothing wrong with inheritance if it's managed wisely.
Yeah.
What's your take on this martial law possibilities? Or these? I'm sure it would
it's
include the FEMA camps.
Scary. It looks like, what was it, like 93-7 in the Senate? It passed?
Wow.
Like no big deal, and I guess Obama was kind of talking it down because there was some provision in there that he didn't agree with. Not the martial law part, or the what do you call it, posse comitatus. That's allowing the police or military to quarter in your home.
He was just concerned about minor technicalities. He's still a statist to the max.
Yeah. But he wasn't complaining about those things. It was something else, but I can't remember exactly what it was. But if I can find the article.
A little legal speak, him being a lawyer, they wanted to tweak it a little bit, be just as repressive, maybe in a better package.
Exactly. No, he wanted that package, but there was how they attach a lot of things to the bills and to the new laws.
Of course, of course.
Something in there he didn't like because it was giving away something, you know, allowing the American people to keep something, and he wanted to take more.
So they voted on this, and it passed, the Senate, 97 voted for it?
I'll tell you right here. By a vote of 93-7, the Senate this month approved a military appropriations bill empowering the government to designate any U.S. citizen within the country as a terrorist and to have the military hold him indefinitely without trial and without the right to habeas corpus, the right to be brought before a court for a judgment on the legality of one's imprisonment. In effect, the legislation is a declaration of martial law throughout the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Obama basically approves of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all for it. But even, let's see, it says different versions of the House of Representatives. President Obama is threatening to veto the legislation, but not so much for its suspension of habeas corpus. Rather, the bill is objectionable to the president because it would prevent the government from transferring terrorism suspects from the prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to installations in the United States, even for trial. That's why he's against it.
Yeah, right. Minor. Well, you know, I've always said that even though I don't agree with Guantanamo, if these people are real terrorists, or they, you know, not just rounded up, like, I believe there's a lot shouldn't even be there. They're falsely in prison, but they could empty a lot of the U.S. prisons, say in Florida next door, of all the nonviolent drug users, and there'd be plenty of room for the Guantanamo prisoners.
Sure.
Now, I thought of that.
That's brilliant.
Thank you. It really is, and very simple. So there you go. Any state could do it. Oh, hello, we've just pardoned all our nonviolent drug users, and we'll take some of the Guantanamo people.
Sure.
You know, they'll be treated right. They'll get a meal and, So, I mean, you know, why can't they figure it out? Why can't they figure that out? So, you know, it's just mind-boggling how stupid the federal government is. And the thing is, all these people treating us this way, these other people, they're Americans, these pricks. They're Americans. They're other Americans.
Exactly.
You know, they're willing to take these jobs and enforce these stupid laws and not question the regime and just perpetuate this awful growth of the federal government and more control over the states. There is a ray of hope, though. There was an Indiana sheriff I'm glad to hear about. I don't know if you heard about this guy, but he told the FDA, any more raids into our state without a warrant from a local judge, and we will arrest you, or I or my sheriffs will arrest you. We don't want you messing with these raw milk farmers. So he stood up to them. And then the Fed, the attorney general, or some assistant attorney general, somebody, you know, fired back a letter at him and was angry. But they pulled back, actually. You know, and this sheriff was apparently debating, you know, the 10th Amendment with them and this and that. And they're trying to say that, you know, the feds have ultimate, you know, say-so. These bastards.
Yeah,
so
their answer is usually, oh, is that your interpretation of the 10th Amendment?
Did you read Hamilton's
don't interpret
Curse?
It that way.
Have you read Hamilton's Curse by Thomas DiLorenzo?
You know, I started reading it. I'm reading so many books right now that I'm reading one of the books that Perry actually brought up, saying that he was thankful Ron Paul said, oh, yes, taught him about, you know, the Fed and the book by Jim Rickards, Currency Wars. I'm reading that one right now. That's pretty fascinating. I mean, I already understand most of the history, but the concept is different for me this time.
Every page of Hamilton's Curse, every page I read makes me angrier than the page before. That son of a bitch, he's behind this corporate welfare, corporate state, wanted a president for life, the president essentially to be like a king.
Yeah,
you know, he was terrible, Hamilton. Awful. You know, well, it's too bad he wasn't whacked in 1704 instead of 1804. Or it's too bad Aaron Burr didn't whack him a lot sooner. Do us a big favor. You know, same thing with Lincoln. It's too bad Lincoln wasn't, you know, well, first of all, never born, but, you know, somebody didn't whack him 20 years sooner.
Yeah, I think we could say that about a lot of these politicians.
Those in particular, because the worst ones for me remain in my humble yet all-knowing opinion would be Lincoln, Wilson, FDR, LBJ, you know, Bush, the son, and now Obama. And their growth of the state, their useless wars, you know. So that's a problem. But Hamilton sort of laid the groundwork. His followers, sad to say, basically won over the Jeffersonians. So that's what you have the legacy of today. And then, of course, the Whigs and then Lincoln, you know, his political ancestor was Henry Clay. So these corporate socialist, state capitalist, politically connected crowd. You know, that's the crowd we have.
Yeah, mercantilists.
That's right, mercantilist, yeah. Yeah. So back to this national security thing. With these, I'm sure they have plenty of prison camps, these FEMA camps, which are actually not to intern Americans, but to intern illegals.
Yeah. Why intern them? Why not just send them home?
But you can be sure that they will intern those of us who protest against the state if it gets any worse or bigger or people finally had enough. I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to try to stick us in there.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. I wouldn't doubt that. It wasn't any different under Hitler or Stalin or Mao. I mean, they took anyone who brought any dissent against them and locked them away.
Well, we did it to Japanese Americans.
Yeah, and they were Americans. Just because they happened to be of Japanese descent, you know, that was enough.
Totally unnecessarily. FDR. Totally unnecessarily, they incarcerated them.
Completely.
Now, if they'd had rampant typhus in the Japanese camps in our Northwest, typhus and starvation, and if the roads and the infrastructure had been destroyed by Allied bombings, then they too would have died like those in the Holocaust, mainly from typhus disease, starvation, and war.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I've read about that, yeah.
Yep. So
but our concentration camps were better, right? They were cleaner. People weren't starving.
As I understand it, the German ones were better until the war started.
Until all the supplies were cut off.
And they had more heat, I think, than the Japanese ones did. Yeah, I mean, the Japanese ones weren't bombed. The infrastructure wasn't torn up, but life was not easy for those folks. And
the American Japanese that were interred in the U.S.
Japanese Americans and had a lot of their property confiscated and never got back. You know, it was awful how they were treated and whatnot.
I'm surprised it's not talked about more these days. You don't hear about these kinds of things whenever they're talking about the evil from whatever empire. They never talk about the things that have happened here in this country.
They want it all downplayed, yeah, because Apple Pie and Chevrolet wave the flag, and, you know, so to criticize it, they can question our patriotism and whatnot, but I stand up to that crap. Anyway, again, if anybody cares to call in, it's the number is 888-429-5471. We're talking about the national security state tonight and the growth of the conditions that would lead us to martial law if that ever happens. So it looks like the Wall Street crowd is dying out, huh? The Occupy crowd?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they have to ask permission to be there. It's not quite the protests of the 60s where people just, you know, went out and protested. Now they have to ask permission. They have to get a special permit. They have to pay fees and fines. And it's kind of ridiculous as far as I can tell.
Free speech. We're
prohibited
by law. Well,
we're protesting, you know, with permission.
They never had a leader, which I would volunteer for, and they didn't have any you know, clear objectives or rationally organized plans. They were like anti-capitalism. They were, you know, they don't understand economics. They're talking out their hat. They're right about corporate welfare and the wars and the bailouts, all that. I'm with them. But apart from that, they're a bunch of scatterbrains, a lot of it.
They sound like a bunch of whiners who want somebody to give them something for free.
Yeah.
And I would say a large portion, of course, the ones they always seem to pick out, the press would pick out to interview, sounded very socialistic in their thinking, which I would attribute to their public education. You know, brought up through the public education system and then went to a university that was also lorded over by the U.S. government. What else would they think?
The dumbing down of the country.
Completely.
Because that's why I don't believe in state control of education. I say to liberals, I say, you know, education is too important to be left up to government and their teachers' unions, because they always indoctrinate with status.
Isn't that what Ron Paul was saying in the debate the other night? Something about the educational establishment being privatized?
Well, I'm all for that.
No, that was something else.
I'm all for private schools, you know, butting up everywhere in strip malls here and there,
and
everywhere, especially in the hood. Anybody who wants to start a school, as long as it meets the fire code, but there's no state control over education. That's a big problem. So,
you know, Andre Agassi, he has this out in Las Vegas. He has a private school that he started, you know, with his funds and with donations from other people. And it's right in the middle of the ghetto.
Who is this?
And it's a preparatory school. And they only take kids from the area. So it's predominantly a black school. And every one of these kids comes out of there with top grades, top abilities, and it will move on to any college or any university they want to go to.
Who funded this?
Andre Agassi, the tennis player.
Oh, great, great, yeah.
Yeah, the Agassi Academy.
So, oh, that's cool.
They're doing, and that's a private school. I mean, you know, kids go there, they don't have to pay to go. It's funded through, you know, private funds. It doesn't take state money.
Yeah, because when you take state money, you get state control.
That's it.
But even though you don't take state money, they harass homeschoolers. In my society, there'd be no harassment of homeschooling.
Yeah.
But harass the harassers. So back to this
martial
law. Let's get to this martial law thing.
Wow.
It seems like it's growing incrementally, you know?
Yeah, you want to know something else that's going on. I don't know if you're following this MF Global thing.
Somewhat. I know Gerald Clemente's pissed off big time.
Who is?
Is it Gerald Clemente?
Oh, Celente.
Celente, yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he lost some money in that. I don't know if he's gotten it back. But basically, with MF Global...
I heard it was telling Lou Rockwell that they really screwed him out of it. They basically, you know, took his money, basically.
Yeah, there's a term they use for it. Hold on.
Overseas contingency plan.
What was that?
Overseas contingency plan. Collateral damage.
Yeah.
Words have meaning.
Yeah.
Remember the words of V.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, so is this happening nationally? There's more of this stuff in every state on the back burner, these detention centers. Is this what it is?
Oh, you know, I don't know. You know, I haven't looked into that so much. I've been hearing about it. I think Jesse Ventura seems to know more about it than anyone. He's been blowing the whistle on this. But
that's right. They don't like him either.
No, not at all.
He wanted to be Ron Paul's running mate. Everything he's done now sort of makes up for his – he wasn't that good of a governor, as I understand, fiscally. But
yeah.
He's redeemed himself with his quest and search for truth. And he stands up to neocons, and he's a Vietnam vet, so that gives him more cred.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to, he's not afraid of anybody. He doesn't back down, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, you know, he's not the most eloquent person, but he knows his subject matter quite well.
Right. Well, that's good. You know, Sounds like me. I'm a little more eloquent, but know my subject matter fairly well.
Yes, you do.
But one has to do that. So, because I battle some of these neocon idiots on emails or Facebook, and you know, with the constitutional thing, that argument, they're grasping a lot of them, and it's mainly the neocons that they're the problem. They are really the problem. Their mentality, and that's what the trouble. I find trouble with the Tea Party is. They're right about fiscal stuff a lot, although, well, I mean, I only support Social Security because, like Ron Paul says, it's they paid into it, people need it. We're not going to throw people out in the street, but we should certainly reform it down the road. So I agree that Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid are socialistic programs, but they've been said and promised to the people. So with that in mind, I will run a gradual way to get out of them, letting people know all along that, you know, they are inefficient statist corporate socialist type things, and that Social Security is a chain letter. It was a vote buying FDR's vote buying scheme also. So I would favor a general phase out in those things. But the Tea Party's been heavily influenced and infiltrated by neocons. You know, if they're pro Bachman in any way or Gingrich or Romney, you know, I know they don't like a lot of Republicans, but they'll go that way just, you know, to whoever's going to run against Obama. And that's – I'm going to be like 2008. I couldn't stand McCain or Obama, so I didn't vote. So next year I'll write in – you know, if I can, I'll write in Ron Paul's name regardless of what – you know, if he got the nomination or not, I'm writing his name in. Or
right.
I'm not voting. I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote for socialism light. And Romney is an oily – stuffed shirt, smooth car sale, used car salesman. In my humble yet all-knowing opinion.
No, I totally agree with you. What I was noticing in the debate the other night with Ron Paul is when Ron Paul speaks, you know exactly what he's talking about. He's very clear on his subject. He's very clear on his points. The others, they sound like they're dropping into that politician speak. And
that's
you're
right.
Like, well, it kind of sounds like he means he's for it, but I'm not really sure because he could mean something else. Oh, he's very deep. That's what it is. He's being philosophical.
That's why whenever Ron Paul speaks at debates, the other candidate should be taking notes.
Boy, they sure should. They're all clueless.
Yeah. I mean, they really are.
I think every one of them has built their life on politics, you know, getting things through who you know, not what you know. You know, they do, like Blagojevich, who went to prison because he said, well, what we're doing is horse trading. He kind of let the cat out of the bag. Now he's spending 15 years in prison or whatever it is, 14 years.
He got 14. He's going to appeal it. For some reason, I'm kind of sympathetic to the guy because he was more upfront about it.
Yeah. Right out there, you know, in front.
I don't know. I think 14 is kind of harsh. And, you know, selling Obama's seat, well, I mean, who could be worse? I mean, it is politics. It really doesn't matter who gets it because they're going to screw us anyway. They're either going to vote for a Democrat plan or a Republican plan, and both are quite statist. So you know,
yeah. And speaking of going to prison, you know, this is another subject with politicians. Why is it that there's this? Who's this Indian guy, Rafjan Santhan? I can never say his name right. Who's going to prison for insider trading? And yet Nancy Pelosi's not going to prison for insider trading, and neither are any of the other senators or congressmen who are trading on insider information.
Of course
not.
Why is that? I don't think insider trading should be illegal anyway. But
I don't think it should either.
Now, it's the hypocrisy of these, you know, bastards in Congress getting away with it.
I agree. And that's my whole point. Everybody should be able to know.
They're blatantly getting away with it.
What's that?
They're blatantly getting away with it.
Blatantly, and admitting it, and they're saying, but there's no law against it for us. We have a different life.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. If that doesn't wake people up, if they don't get pissed because of that.
They are the politically connected elite.
Oh, man. They're the lords and ladies and the dukes and duchesses of old. That's what they think they are.
Of both parties.
you know, they're connected.
Well, I don't mind that of old, because you knew more where they stood, basically. That's who they were. They were the Duke or the Duchess.
Yeah.
You know, Newt Gingrich thinks he is, you know.
Yeah.
He needs a diet. He needs a diet in an Austrian school of economics and history, you know, re-education.
I thought he was going to pop the other night. And I looked at him and said, my God, he's standing next to Ron Paul. He makes Ron Paul look like a concentration camp survivor.
He took it pretty well, the criticism and everything. Gingrich, I knew he knew he would get all that, so his plan was calm, and then he had his prepared, you know, yes, I made mistakes, da-da-da-da, you know.
I don't think he cares. He's connected. He knows he's safe.
Oh,
he might not
much.
Get elected, but he's safe with all of his other income coming in, so.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I don't mind him making money from speeches. I mean, that seems more free market to me, speeches, but
sure.
It's all the other collusion, you know, and his close association with Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, it just reeks. Oh. Plus, he's with the American Enterprise Institute, so he's very beholden to the Israeli lobby.
Wow. Wow. You know, and if he was advising Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, what was he advising them? Be careful, you're going to have to file for bankruptcy tomorrow? I don't know. Be careful what you say. I don't know. What was he telling them?
I don't know, but it was like $1.5 million worth of advice. Well, wow, how brilliant this guy
was. He's pulling the check in with one hand, and he's telling him, hey, I'm out of here.
Yeah, but what a brilliant guy he must be.
He's
hypocritical, you know. And so, Bachman, she's pretty much out. Huntsman's out.
He's gone.
Kane is gone. You know.
Yeah.
Gingrich is going to self-destruct, and Romney's going to hang in there, I think.
Yeah. And yet,
I hope that Ron will crush him. But I don't know. I don't think Gingrich is going to make the cut.
I don't know. I mean, everything I see, whenever I open the newspaper in the morning, or if I look on, say, Yahoo online, it's Romney and Gingrich are neck and neck. You know, that's the propagandist coming out that those two are the only two choices.
Yeah, well.
I think they said that about Kane, though, before, didn't they? Herman Kane.
It's the Republican side. Kane.
Romney, yeah.
Old 999, is he's on the sideline.
Yeah.
He's suspending his campaign until after the election. You know,
So
it is a zoo and a circus, and I don't see how any Americans could vote for Gingrich or Romney. God,
wow,
how terrible!
Yeah, wow.
Awful. And they keep wondering who's the most conservative up there. And I even heard Bachman talk. You know, the most conservative is ma'am. The most conservative. What do you call Ron Paul?
Yeah,
you know, she is so damn annoying.
Completely.
But she takes Mises to the beach with her.
Oh, really? Mises who?
Which she pronounces Mises, I think. Or Mises. So
I think she takes Mises. She takes her little Mises with her.
It's that whole deal. So I don't know if she voted for the Patriot Act. It seemed like something she would do. But hell, that bastard Gingrich, he wants it strengthened.
Wow.
And he goes off on his explanations of why these things should be, and I never said that, and this is what it should be. He's got that, you know.
I didn't say that.
He doesn't debate very strongly.
No, I didn't mean that, though.
Say what?
He said he would say something and somebody would, you know, Ron Paul would say, well, you said this. I didn't say it like that. I said it differently.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean it, though. I changed my mind later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ron Paul, you know, sort of praised his own consistency that night as he said, talking about consistent position. Well, I've had the same thing, you know, for 30 years or more than 30 years. So, yeah, he has. And so it's just funny to see how this works, those other candidates up there with him, because they can't knock him out of the water, and they have come over his way a little bit, but it's so obvious. It's like there's all of them, and then there's him.
Yeah. It's amazing. When you hear them talk, you have how many are left up there? The others, and then Ron Paul, and the difference. He sounds one way, and then all the rest sound just the same.
Yeah, they are the status
more levels of more government. You know, how much more government can we put into things? How much more money can we spend? Who are we going to give more money to, and where's it going to come from?
And when they cut, you know, they talk about cutting government is too big, but Ron Paul has specifics about it. You know, like he wants to cut $1 trillion the first year. You know, that's
I like that.
That's a great thing. Yeah. So
right off the top.
Yeah. And even the media is starting to wake up a little bit. You know, some of the articles are more favorable to him. I mean, if they portrayed him in a better light, talk radio and Fox News and CNN and everybody. He'd be a shoo-in.
Yeah. But I'm afraid the people, the talk radios, like the Limbaughs and the other guy from Fox, they don't get their paychecks from the guys who support Ron Paul.
Glenn Beck, you mean?
Glenn Beck, and the other one, the loudmouth.
Glenn Beck is such a flake that he's for Ron Paul one moment, not the next, and working for him once and against him the next. You know, Glenn Beck is just, well, I know he's O'Reilly. A former Alky. Once an Alky, always an Alky.
Yeah.
But he's just such a nerd, such a dork. I mean, just his whole, I don't know. I don't need him as a kingmaker.
No.
As if Donald Trump is some kind of kingmaker. We gotta blaze a path to him when he calls us to be in a debate that he's going to moderate. I love that folded. Donald, you're fired.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I don't know. You know. I think his whole career now is based around his reality TV show. I don't think his other businesses are doing so hot these days.
Wow. Well, I forget what else he's in besides real estate and humility.
TV. He's in TV. And the Miss America pageant or the Miss Universe or something, I think he has something to do with that. He's into that stuff.
I saw him at a roast, a clip of him, a roast that Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live was roasting him. And Trump was out in the audience, seemed like he's about halfway back in the middle, and he was just looking at the stage. He wasn't smiling much. He had that serious look on his face.
Yeah.
That he gets.
Sucking.
And I don't know how much it was staged, but it was supposed to be comedy, and other people were laughing, but he wasn't. You know, he had that scowl.
I don't think he has
forward.
A sense of humor.
That's funny.
Yeah,
he's a big, and he's another China basher too. You know, these businessmen, they don't understand economics very well.
He just can't handle the competition because they're doing much better than Atlantic City's and Las Vegas. I don't know if you checked out what's happening in Macau these days with the casino business. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Well, Asians, I know they like to gamble, especially Asian men.
Yeah.
And Macau was a former Portuguese colony, I believe.
Yes.
So they probably still retain some of their independence. Was it in Goa?
In Goa?
Yeah.
What's that?
The state of Goa.
Oh, I don't know. I just know it's on the south coast.
Okay.
Not too far from Hong Kong.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking of India. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a Portuguese colony. It's had casinos before, I think.
Well, it's had a couple of smaller casinos for quite some time, but they just only in the last 10 years have they started building the megaliths like they have in Las Vegas.
So is it really booming now, Macau? Is it really booming?
Oh, my gosh. It's blowing away. You can take Atlantic City. You can take all the casinos in the U.S. and put them up against just that small area of Macau, and they'd probably be making about one-tenth of the money being made in Macau. It's in the hundreds of billions.
Well, you were saying it would blow them away. Speaking of gambling, would they happen to have the suicide kind of games where you bet on the suicide? Russian roulette, would they have that, like in the Deer Hunter? Mao!
Mao! Yeah, that's down in the back alley, though.
Mao! Oh, that's Chinese. I'm sorry, Macau is Chinese, but I was speaking Vietnamese. Mao!
Yes, that's
Mao.
Right. You're speaking Vietnamese, that's right.
From Deer Hunter, yes, sorry. I don't know what the Chinese term for Mao is, but I was speaking the Vietnamese, so now that I cleared that up. But, well, Vietnam and China would certainly know about martial law and putting people in concentration camps big time.
Boy, would they ever.
If
you look at the numbers, I still think Russia outdoes them all, though.
Well, the U.S. with its mentality and this terrorism excuse, everybody, this and that's a terrorist, or as Bush would say, terrorist.
Terrorist. But you know what? I got to say, Obama sounds a lot like Bush when he says terrorist.
Yeah.
I think his accent has changed since he became president.
He sure has gotten a lot grayer.
Yeah. He's all stressed out.
The stress of the job and, of course, such a bad job he's doing.
Yeah. Putting up a front. I think it's the stress of putting up a front. You know, pretending to be something you're not.
That's right. Like, who's going to get it next time? Yeah, I just hope things get better, but I think 2012 is going to be worse. 2012 is going to be worse.
It is going to be worse.
And the unemployment, this economy's not coming back.
No.
Like they say it is. There's no green shoots. I've seen this thing about QE3. Was there another quantitative easing, or it's subtly done or something?
There are a few different ways of looking at it, because, I mean, you know, if you look at it, I don't know if you, again, have you, I don't know if you've paid attention to Shadow Stats, John Williams' economic site. I don't know if you've gotten a subscription to that yet.
I don't think so. Tell us
about
it.
But he came out. And he said, you know, that they came out with the latest deficit, and he said it was $1.2 billion, right?
Uh-huh.
You heard this, right? Are you familiar? You did hear that, right?
I'm hearing it from you.
You didn't know. Okay, you don't follow these numbers. Okay. So, yeah, the deficit, as reported by the United States government and the GAO or whatever, it says it's $1.2 billion for the last year. It was down from, what, $1.5 last year?
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
And John Williams says, well, here are the real numbers, because what they're doing is they're cooking the books. He says he's pretty much coming out saying the government's just out and out lying these days. He said they used to kind of bend the truth, but now it's just straight lies. He says it's more in the terms of a little over $5 trillion is the deficit. But
for one year?
The way they're making it up is taking money out of Social Security, they're taking it out of pension funds and plowing it into the budget of the government, but they're not calling it part of the deficit, the actual money that was borrowed from, you know, from bondholders, from treasuries, things like that. So, yeah, $5 trillion
plus. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I don't know how much longer it can go on. I mean, you know, our public debt, our national debt is over $15 trillion now, so that's more than 100% of GDP.
Apparently liberals don't care much about the debt. That doesn't mean much to them.
No, they don't care because you just print up more money if you need it.
But apparently Republicans don't care, or conservatives either, because they've gone down the same path.
Yeah. I think it's so enormous that it's off people's radar screen. They just are like, it's been going on for so long, it'll just go on forever.
Well, if and when it tanks, they'll wish they did pay more attention to it.
Yeah. I mean, next year I think we're going to really see what it's all about. But I think that's, again, why they're going to start a war. They're going to create a situation, just create a war to take people's mind off of it, to divert attention, and then probably, you know, let the economy fall apart and blame it on the war.
Are you pertaining mainly to Iran?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, what if the economy completely falls apart during that and they can't afford it anymore? That's the scary thing. You know, it could crash lightly or it could crash hard.
Yeah.
And they're not learning from it. Obama would just, I would guess, just keep spending like crazy.
Yeah, spend and print, print and spend. Spend and pay, can't do it anymore until the dollar becomes worthless.
Yeah, there's a reckoning
day that
comes.
The currency controls are going to come in. They're coming now.
Wow. Yeah. So Republicans are generally a little more truthful about the economy, business and economics. They're a little more truthful. But in the end, they're still big government, you know, so-called conservatives. And, you know, they're pro-Fed. They're pro-conservative welfare state.
Yeah.
So maybe this, as far as martial law and these detention camps, maybe the idiotic cops will come to their senses, and the sheriffs, and in those detention centers will go the bureaucrats and politicians who've caused this mess, and the bankers.
That would be good, because supposedly this martial law doctrine doesn't you know, single out just non-public sector Americans. The Congress and the politicians are on that list as well.
Right.
Which is kind of weird that they would pass a law like that. I think they're thinking, you know, we'll pass this, but it doesn't pertain to us. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
Right? And as they nudge, wink, wink to each other. That's how I see it anyway.
It's awful. So, yeah, these people don't belong in those camps. Those detention camps for politicians and the bureaucrats, and there's a lot I would put in there. Of course, there's a lot I would execute, give them a trial and execution for what they've done to the economy and to the country and to the world and because of the wars.
Oh.
You know, I have nothing in common with these idiots. And I'm not saying this like I'm some class envy or a shay or somebody who wants to kill people because of their class. I want to kill them because of their crime, execute them because of what they've done. And the world would realize, the world would breathe easier and know that, you know, we took care of our own.
I think they're
treasonous. Chinese style.
if you really want to look at the definition of treason, they are treasonous.
Yeah.
You know, that's in the Constitution, treason.
That's right. There's only a couple of federal crimes that can be get the death penalty, and I think treason's one of them.
And this martial law thing, this, you know, imprisoning American citizens on their own soil and calling them terrorists, that's treasonous. That's bringing war, or what is it? How's the term go?
It's posse bringing war against,
within the states from the government against its own people.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the good things they put in. But again, you know, it seems like it's just a piece of toilet paper to these guys.
It's too bad. Now, you know, Jesse Ventura, well, Alex Jones did it first, but Jesse Ventura has been, and he's seen these camps. He's seen some of these camps in those black plastic coffins they got stacked over there.
Jeez.
Have you seen those photos? Ever seen any of that?
No, I haven't. I've been reading, I started watching some of those videos and reading up on this stuff, and it becomes so depressing, I have to start thinking about something else.
Well, he's seen some of those camps that Alex Jones had already talked about. And they wouldn't let Jesse run that show again on his show. That was one in particular. They wouldn't let him show that one again.
Wow.
You know, so he's clued in on it. And he's got that book about, I don't know how many numbers, 69 things or 39 things or something that your government doesn't want you to know. You know, it's got the Operation Northwoods in there and all that other crap that they've come up with, you know, to scare the people and the sheeple and increase the wars and the military budget.
Wow, this is, you know, I just look at this, and the more I read and the more I study history, I say it's history repeating, or rhyming, as they, you know, Mark Twain would say.
Yeah.
This is the Pax Romana, except it's doing what the Pax Romana always does. It's imploding on itself.
You know, the trouble is, though, it's going to take us with it. You know, that's what I don't like about it. Maybe there'll be pockets throughout the country of civil war or food riots, you know. And that'll scare other people elsewhere. So it's not a rosy picture. And Obama, you know, he's trying to shift the blame still and say, well, you know, it's going to end up taking us longer than we thought we'd get out of this mess. And the way he tries to soft pedal it. But it's because they don't understand economics. If they would have read Rothbard's America's Great Depression, you know, it falls 99% squarely on the Fed, you know.
Right.
And of course, those stupid things that I think enacted during Carter's time towards the end about redlining or banks had to lend to black folks or, you know, minorities or people, you know, become a racial thing instead of whether they could afford it or not or have the money or be responsible enough to.
Why can't it just be all equal creditworthiness based
on
that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that contributed to it also, because a lot of people shouldn't own homes. They should rent homes, or, you know, they're not responsible enough or have the ability to take care of a home. So, you know, the homeownership society was BS that Bush gave us.
Oh,
but they found money in there to build detention camps or more of them outside, and, you know, with their stacks of black plastic coffins.
Oh, man. That's creepy.
Yeah, I've seen them. I saw the episode with Jesse, and I've seen them on Alex Jones. Yeah, Alex Jones have footage of black helicopters. There are black helicopters.
Where did you see the footage of Jesse? On what show? On the History Channel or something? Or what was his show showing?
It might have been one episode. I either saw it on YouTube or I saw it when he had his show, and then they wouldn't show it again after that. When he went, which one? What am I talking about? Which I'm trying to confuse now. Which show? Oh, when he went and he's on the outskirts of one of these camps, in the woods, and he saw the fences and that whole deal. So. There's a bunch of them. I don't know if every state has one, but, you know, they're in the wings.
Oh, man. I hate to find one of those in the middle of the desert somewhere. Jeez.
And, you know, and the military and their contractors, they're all involved in this, you know. Blackwater and what's the other one that Cheney was with, and Rush Limbaugh always gets on the defensive, but, oh, here we go again.
I thought that was Blackwater or
Blackwater's out of North Carolina, I think. Cheney's was, or who am I thinking of?
I can't think of it.
Oh, Halliburton.
Oh, you mean his military contracting company.
Yeah, and those are the ones that, you know.
And energy Obama's, company, sorry.
Obama's BS about we're bringing all the troops home from Iraq. Yeah, they'll probably leave thousands over there. Or they have these, you know, Blackwater guys.
Yeah, they're all contractors.
GIs. Yeah, they're making $2,000-$3,000 a week, and they're bodyguards and this and that.
Yeah, ex-military now going into private contracting.
Yeah, now it's at a lower level. The ex-military, you know, as guards and whatnot, where at the higher levels, the generals revolve back and forth between, you know, manufacturers and the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not speaking. I'm not speaking anti-capitalistically. I'm speaking anti. Of course, always anti-Zionist, anti-crony capitalism, anti-corporate welfare, anti-tax-funded bailouts. I always have to say tax-funded bailouts because if private investors or the banks want to bail somebody out, that's okay. That's different.
Yeah.
As long as they're not on the gravy train, if they're getting bailed out to bail out people, you know. But otherwise, that's okay as long as it's not tax-funded bailout.
But like I was telling you earlier, this company MF Global that went bankrupt with John Corzine at its head.
Uh-huh.
What's happened? That was a clearinghouse, MF Global.
He doesn't know where the money went, Andy.
Yeah. He doesn't know. $1.2 billion. Supposedly they've come up with. They had $250 million that they were going to find to pay back some of these investors whose money was disappeared. That are like Gerald Celente said. He said I had futures contracts in gold at, you know, a price of what, $1,500 something, and they said no, you were at $1,780. They changed it on him, and there's a term for that. They were using investors' money to make huge bets on bonds in Europe, and that's where the company went bankrupt, MF Global, because it's a derivative monster, and they were supposed to be a clearinghouse for all these bets being placed in the futures market and the bond market, and that. Well, they're bankrupt, so who's going to take care of that clearinghouse? Without a clearinghouse, there is no market at all. So they went bankrupt, and CME, which is the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, is supposed to guarantee all of this money that's out there that disappeared, that Gerald Celente, part of his, he lost.
Wow.
They're now saying they can't do that. That would ruin our shareholders' funds. We can't do this. And they, a year ago, the head of the CME came out and said, nobody has ever lost a dollar because of a default on a owed money or anything else, because we take care of our investors. They no longer do that.
Sounds like, in a way, what's happening to him, what's happening to Nelson Bunker Hunt or the Hunt brothers in 1980 or so when they bought all that silver and they bought long, and then the government, you know, there's bureaucrats and the SEC members, I think, who had bought also, and they bought short, or the people who bought short, and the shorts got the government to change the rules in the middle of the game. And
But that's not what happened to MF Global, because John Corzine's an insider.
Yeah.
He just made some stupid decisions. There were bond defaults in Europe that they thought were going to be covered no matter what, and then somebody decided, sorry, we can't cover these anymore because it's way too big. They're talking about like a bailout fund in Europe of like, I don't know, what did they come up with, $500 billion or something? I think that's the number. Well, there are some people in the financial world, and I can't think of the woman's name. She said, $500 billion. Let's start with $25 trillion for Europe. That's just to get started. They need $100 trillion to stay above water. And these are people who are closing down their investment houses because they know the game is fixed and there's nothing they can do. They said $100 trillion, and they're not taking my money with them.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it's something totally different this day, you know, than it was back with the Hunts.
The European welfare states are collapsing, and they always, you know, gloated about their, what do you call it? Well, their
free healthcare
and their pension systems. Well, it's all crumbling because they can't afford it. They've been living on borrowed money or on deficits.
It's like democracy. So, as soon as they realize they can vote themselves a bigger chunk of the public purse, you know, people jump in and why work? Why should I work? I can just go down there and collect a check.
Well, that purse is shrinking.
Yeah, it sure is.
Ron Paul says it won't matter in the future. You know, about entitlements and this and that. If there's no money to give them, you know, if it's not there, and if they print more, that'll just destroy the value of what's left of it anyway. So it's real apathetic.
Yeah, it's like you and I know, like some of our British friends talk about the national healthcare system there and how great it is.
Yeah.
It's crumbling. It's crumbling. In the newspaper today, they're talking about people that they're pushing away. They're saying, guy had a hernia. He needed an operation. He had to wait a year and a half. He's a farmer. He says, I can't work on my farm. It's so painful. I'm supposed to be able to go. And they kept pushing him away. So I saw it. They're not giving out pain medications to people who have illnesses. They say, we just don't have the funds.
Or they're rationing. Oh, it'd all be better
rationing,
if they only get more fund from the government for the National Health Service. Whenever I'm in my beloved England, the newspapers always have critical essays about the national health. They don't seem to want to change it over or privatize it with medical savings accounts. They just want it to be run more efficiently, and you know, if they have to pay more in taxes, well, that should be managed better. But you know, they don't look at the systemic root problem with the whole system.
Ah, That British stiff lip thing, you know. Just keep your nose up, Ed. We're British. We stick together. We do this. We do that.
Well, who are we to talk? I mean, Gingrich wanted this single payer.
I'm just picking on the British because I like to pick on them.
I know, but it's just
funny.
And
they can pick on me, too. I'm okay with that as well.
Gingrich is such a hypocrite. It's just so funny. I mean, he's worse than Romney.
God. I mean, Gingrich, if you just look at him, I don't know. He looks like somebody's grandmother.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep thinking he's starting to look very old womanish, you know, and he's got that...
carrying a lot of extra weight, you know. He thinks he's a real smart guy. You know, I hate to use the word brilliant, which has been attributed to him, and, you know, impresses people, I guess, because he can talk his BS and his superficial knowledge of history.
Yeah. He always seems to be talking condescendingly. You know, he always looks at people like, he gets that look in his eye and he stares at you like, I know what I'm talking about. You know, I think he's been running the BS for so long that that's just his game.
Well, that,
I think he fools most of the people most of the time.
He's a chicken hawk, pro-war kind of bastard.
Oof, armchair quarterback.
Yeah, he's all that stuff.
Those guys are scary. That's another thing. How many of those people on stage have been in the military?
They're inmates. Three?
Only one.
Dr. Paul.
Yeah.
Rick Perry was in the Air Force.
Yeah, none of the others served in any form. So, you know, again...
No, Rick Perry was in the Air Force.
Oh, was he?
I think, yeah.
He didn't get a buy?
So that qualifies him to do anything.
He might have had a desk job in Texas. While he was hanging out with Al Gore.
The bastard had his chance to stand up to Washington. He talked about, you know, secession. He brought that up, or states' rights for Texas. But then he sort of backed it down, or it became sort of hush-hush.
Yeah, I think somebody got to him.
But that's something. He was, You know, because he almost comes around sometimes that he's into his religion. He's been to Israel. He's been praying at the wall over there. I mean, one of the first things Marco Rubio from Florida did, as I understand it, after his election as a senator, he went right over to Israel.
That's Florida. You got to make a trip
over there, like a little Mecca, if you will, to get their approval.
Yeah.
So you can run for office here, or they'll support you here with all their resources.
Well, you got to make sure you're part of the family that you're going to fit in.
Well, let's just not fit into the family of the detention camps that don't exist.
Yeah, please. I think I have a different number on my dance card. I can't go to one of those detention camps.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't either. So it looks like we've come to the end of the show here, Andy. Thanks for coming back on.
Have we been rambling on that
about,
long?
We didn't get to talk about the martial law as much as I wanted to, but it's out there swimming around, and it seems to be incremental. It'll come before people even realize it. They'll wake up someday and realize, oh, we got martial law.
Yeah, and they'll say, oh, but that's okay because it's for the good of the country.
Yeah, the common good. More of that.
The thing that
BS.
Scares me about it, the people who say it's for the good of the country, I was only following orders, I'm just doing what a good American does.
Yeah, well.
You know, it doesn't change what country, what language you're in, it always sounds the same.
The reckoning day is coming. You know, we can't tell you when, but we know that it's coming. So, you know,
I just hope
like
some
like
people
say,
come up with some good jokes about the whole thing. You know, so I can.
Like I like to say, there's only one man who can save America from itself, and that's Ron Paul, because
that's for sure.
The Ron Paul wing of the Republican Party, that is the Jeffersonian constitutional wing of the Republican Party, is where the Republican Party should be.
I'm with you.
Well, you should be, because I wrote those lines, and that's true.
Oh.
It's correct.
Oh.
Very unself-serving, very factual. My humility overshadows my wisdom sometimes. But anyway, I'm going to say goodbye now, and thank you for coming on, Andy. We'll have to talk again soon.
It's been nice being here.
Okay. So
nice to talk with you.
This is your humble host, PK, signing off for
all right, PK.
Monday evening, December 12th. And I'm here every Monday, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, and 11:55 Eastern here on BBS Radio Station 2. So until next week, everyone, this is your host, PK, signing off. Actually playing the wrong song, but ain't nothing wrong with soul music. So until next week, signing out, your host PK. Good night, everybody.